that for me. Oh, victory, victory, conquer death, set me free. Victory, victory, Jesus alive in me. 3 days on the stone gives way.
Exciting stuff. Does anybody have anything off the top of your head to share, or maybe just be ticking in the back? We really want to kind of open it up and just have a time of people being able to share and stuff. So just while I talk at the moment, just have a tick if there's anything else that you'd like to share, or the Spirit's leading you in anything. Make sure we get that all settled. Rubes and Ace, you've got some stuff there, guys, you can have a look at. I don't know, darling. Yeah, sorry. those words there, Christ in me, and I in him. I don't know about any of you, but I'm like, then you can sit there and sing la 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 la. You know, we sometimes think that's a youth song or a kid's song, but the Bible says, right, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It doesn't matter what, but I don't know about you, when I sing that, I go, Christ in me and I in him. Christ in me and I in him. Yesterday morning, I woke up and it was just resounding in my spirit, you have been redeemed. You have been redeemed. You have been purchased with a price. And that was just resounding. I thought, oh yeah, I knew a few scriptures kind of mulling through my head as I thought that through. And then I found myself singing this next song we're going to sing actually. And then just kind of been mulling through that throughout the day. And then I was like, redeemed, redemption, like we do. We talk about it. We always, you know, out there they probably wouldn't use the word redeemed much. We use it a lot in the church, but it's always really good to stop and think of the words we use and think of what they actually mean. So I was like, I'm redeemed and I've been purchased with a price. And when you think of things in your life, things we get for free, we often don't value very much. And then things that we pay a lot of money for, we value really, really high, don't we? Yeah, we just naturally do that. We naturally place a price on things, and so therefore it's value. So we were purchased with the blood of Jesus. Our life is that valuable. Just, I know we know it, but stop and meditate it on occasionally and just go, wow, the Lord Jesus Christ, God, the one who made this world, chose to leave his throne because my life was valuable enough to him to redeem it. Your life was, every life. You then walk around with that and then look at every other person you see and go, every other life is worth the value of Jesus' blood. He died for their life. Now, unfortunately, not everyone will receive it, but to walk around with that mentality, this is, I'm going to be completely honest with you, some other parents might do this, but you know, you love your kids, obviously. Kids mean everything to you, but you can find yourself in some places, I guess, valuing your kids above other kids. And someone sort of made this, you know, when you're somewhere, you know, you go to defend your kid first and foremost wherever you are. It's a natural thing. But someone had mentioned it's like every child obviously is of the same value. And I sort of had to flick a little bit in some of my situations and go, of course, no duh, and really pull myself back and see every other kid as valuable as my kids in every situation that we are. Like, I know, I'm sorry, I'm human. But yeah, I had to look at that and go, wow, because Jesus died for that kid too. Jesus created that kid in his mum's womb too. And like, just, it's just a different thing occasionally to look and go, every person who drives past in a car and does something silly on the road, oh, they must be having a bad day because, you know, they're valuable to God. They're precious to God. I don't know, do you get what I mean? I'm just... A few things I've been ticking through and gone, he paid the price that we would be purchased and become his. We've been bought at a price. Again, not everyone's received it, but that is ultimately what his plan was. So just a few scriptures on that. I just wanted to remind you what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. My body and my spirit is God's. You were bought at a price, so don't become slaves of men. Yeah. Actually, even take heed to yourselves to the flock. It's talking to leaders, but he says to the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. We're here because he purchased us with his own blood. He purchased us and made us the sheep of his pasture. He's our shepherd and we are his sheep. He's our God. We are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hands. I love those ones about us being his sheep. He bought us. Like, we know the stories Jesus told where the good shepherd went to search for a sheep. And he will not, you know, he'll leave the 99 to find the one regardless. That's how precious and how valuable we all are to him, yeah? Sorry, then I actually have a lot. He says, fear not, for I have, this has been one that's been very key for me this year. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name and you are mine.
That's good.
Yeah?
Amen.
I have redeemed you. I've purchased you. I've bought you back. So we were his. We were stolen. Sin separated us from him, but we purchased us back and now We are His. And the twofold of that is we have no reason to fear. We have no reason to stress about any situations because we know we belong to Him and God cares about us. But on the other side of us, we actually have no right to live for ourselves anymore. It says, for he who has suffered in the flesh, he who has been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live but Christ who lives in me, no longer lives for the will of themselves, but for the will of the Father. I've put about three scriptures in together, but that's ultimately what it says. Yeah? It's a good thing to stop and go, yeah. We don't come to church necessarily for us. We come because God called us to, because we're part of his body. And he's got a work to do in us and through us. He's got things to teach us. He's got people he wants us to encourage. He wants us to grow and strengthen one another and be sharpened and be changed from glory to glory. Amen? Yeah? That's another way to think as well. We don't necessarily go to church for ourselves, but because he's called us to come together in true fellowship. Yeah? Just putting a few thoughts out there in this. So, Mum, can you hand communion round? Sorry if this is a bit challenging for some of the parents. Kids, can you listen to me? You know we take communion because Jesus died for us, didn't he? Yeah?
Yeah.
This isn't just a really cool cracker and some juice we get to drink during church, but it's to remind us that Jesus died on that cross so that we can be friends with God. We can have a relationship with God again. So we're going to sing some songs now, and you guys are going to stay down there, darling. But I'm just going to encourage you as we sing them. Kids, you can take it in your own time, but when you take it, you say, what do we say, Reuben? What do we say when we take it? Yeah, we say, thank you, God. You say, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, and that I am now yours. Yeah?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, for loving me. And I am now yours. This covenant, we've shared it before, but this covenant really is, all that is yours is mine, but all that is mine is yours. And that's what these next two songs are really going to lead us in. And I want to encourage you, I know it's a bit different, but let's take it together. Take it throughout these songs as you feel comfortable. It's really important to activate our hearts in this because it's not just a ritual. You know, this is between us and God. Yeah? This is the Lord Jesus saying, here's my body and here's my blood. It's not just a symbolism. This is actually an intimate moment with our Lord. And I want to encourage you, make sure activate your heart in it when you take it. Thanks.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
To say, thank you, Lord, that all that is yours is mine. And we're so big to always do that. Yes, everything of God's mine. I got the victory. I got this. Oh, but all that is mine is yours, Lord. You've redeemed me and I now belong to you. I found myself this morning, Mum and Dad will know, it's probably one of the songs I sang when I was a little kid. It says, in my life, Lord, be glorified in my life, Lord, be glorified today. I have sung that song since I was probably 3 or 4, eh? I used to wait for the bus out the front and just sit there just going, God, in my life, be glorified because it belongs to you, yeah? So we're just going to sing these two songs in your own time between you and God. And kids, when you're ready, just thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, for loving me. I am yours, yeah? Okay. To the crimson river, left my burdens on the shore. I went down a sinner, came up a saint, died with Christ, now I'm reborn. Yes, he washed me in his mercy, and he cleansed me with his blood. Now I stand complete, have been set free. I found life there in the flood. Not the same, I am changed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. By his grace, I am saved, I'm his
justified by the precious blood of Christ. Thank you, Lord. I'm not the same. I am changed. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. By His grace, I am saved. I'm His child forever. I am.
Continue to sing this.
With arms held high, Lord.
know Kerry invited people that had something to share, and I feel we haven't really explored that. Has anyone got something they'd like to just share with the rest of us? God's been doing in your life, or God's been laying on your heart? Sorry, Shell. I'm glad I got a pointer at the back.
Just wanted to share a good testimony from this week.
Turn it up.
Sorry, I can hold it here. The kids and I the other day were just going for a drive, two of the kids and me, and just on the way to someone's house, and we're going about 100, and cars in front of us were turning left and we were going straight, so we just kept on going, but a car didn't see that we were going straight, so a car pulled out in front at the last moment, and was a pretty hectic, scary moment, but what could have been straight into the side of them just ended up being a graze, really, and only collected our mirror and scraped the side of the car, and could have been, you know, just one of those horrific things. And there was oncoming traffic the other way, and there was cars waiting to come out, so we just went straight in between. And it was just one of those amazing moments that you just go, God, thank you, you know.
Yes.
And the man who we hit wasn't hurt at all, and none of us were hurt. The kids didn't even care. They were like, what's going on? And, you know, that night mum wrote me a text, and she just said, I know why you were able to, you know, come out the other side unscathed. And she said, you know, God was with you and kept you calm and, you know, enabled you to think in that hectic situation. He, you know, he was there with you. And that coming from a non-Christian, you know, that. So, you know, you see life and things that are just full on, and thank God it wasn't worse. But that's a seed. That's just a seed in mum's, you know, something that can help her and in other people, whoever was there, I don't know. But, you know, it's all about little seeds. And so I'm just grateful to God for that incident.
Yeah,
you know, we can thank God for things like that, because I'm glad it happened, you know. And
yeah,
it happened, and it's, you know, even good for onlookers. Maybe that can help them be more aware of things. You know, every little thing can help in the natural, in the physical, but it can help to be a seed to help people realize, wow, God is on their side, you know. So we're thankful for that thing that happened during this week. It's some things that we think are bad end up being a blessing. So
that's awesome. Wow. That'd be a pretty 100 k's an hour you said you're going. God is so amazingly good. Preserves us and keeps us. You know, the scripture's full of precious promises like that. Amen? Anyone else got a quick word to share? And Darren's going to share in a moment. Just quickly, before he does, can you give us an update on what you spoke to Winneka about yesterday? And I don't know if people are aware, but Winneka was taken into hospital with a situation of a lot of fluid around her heart. So
experiences it.
Amen.
Actually, just in saying that, the text Jimmy said used the words that God was the facilitator and orchestrator going before her. And just seeing that, look, it could have been a lot worse if that doctor hadn't picked it up earlier. You know, who knows what could have happened. So I think God had it all in control beforehand, but just the way it worked out.
Yeah. Awesome. And, you know, here she is with a doctor friend, just in a casual discussion. Oh, I've had some tests done, you know. And the doctor's like, ah! Is that a God moment or not? Is that God putting people in our lives in place at the right time to ensure our safety, our protection, and our security? God is amazing. We can trust Him completely. I don't want to take too much time, but I would encourage you all, if I can, to read a psalm over the next week or so. And this psalm is not found in the book of Psalms. It's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And it's actually a psalm of David, but it was the very first recorded praise psalm of thanks after David brought the tabernacle back, the Ark of the Covenant back, and put it in a tented tabernacle to reinstitute praise and worship to God. It's incredible. And it's actually 1 Chronicles 16 verses 8 onwards. And so if you get a chance, no, not if you get a chance, make the chance to read that, because God's given me a real heart to bring this to the church shortly. And read it with Psalm 23. Look at Psalm 23. I know we all know it and we can parrot it off, but look at it again and just go through it verse by verse by verse. But read this other psalm where David brought the ark back, put it in the tent that he'd pitched for it to be in. He instituted the Levites to minister. He instituted the musicians. He instituted the singers. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but a lot of the psalms, and he instituted recorders. Now, they weren't CD players or cassettes. They were people who wrote frantically when singers, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, sang praises to God, and they wrote them down. And I know they were attributed mostly as a psalm of David, but that was because David reinstituted this so much for God, for praise, worship, and singing to be part and parcel of the nation's experience in getting back to a relationship with God. And I believe that praise and worship and singing is a critical and a very crucial part of our relationship with God. And David did that in 1 Chronicles 16, and there was this amazing prayer of thanks and praise to God that encouraged the people to worship Him. And I love that. I love that. And I was thinking of it. I don't know why God gave it to me. And I said to Darren earlier, I got a message I can preach, but didn't feel it was for today. But I do feel to ask you to read that psalm out of 1 Chronicles 16. That psalm of thanks and that prayer of and praise of thanks that God gave David at the reestablishment of praise and worship where the Ark of the Covenant was brought back to the people. So very important. And Psalm 23 in light of that as well. Darren, thanks so much, mate.
Thanks, Ken. I'm only going to share briefly. I'll just put my phone here. I think Kez mentioned it last week regarding like a testimony, and in terms of you don't necessarily need to have it fully come to fruition to, I suppose, speak it out or share it. So it kind of got me thinking a bit that in my situation this year, that just wanted to more share and speak it out in this current, I suppose, landscape that we're in, and what God's showed throughout this year, in particular the last month or two, to me, in terms of, yeah, just the way it's hard to understand sometimes the way he operates, but it's all out of love, and I can see the light at the end of the tunnel in some respects, and I know he's orchestrating it all in some ways, which is good. So, and my situation has by no means been that bad compared to others, so I know that, and I know God's definitely given me comfort in it all, particularly, yeah, throughout the year. Work situation has been a bit up and down, stood down for 3 months, and then I think worked for 3 months on 0.5 and then 0.8, finally getting made redundant about 6-7 weeks ago. So yeah, it wasn't the easiest of times throughout this year with the uncertainty, but I always knew God had it had my life and family's life and work in his hands. And it's interesting, late last year, in November, it was November, I think. So pre all this COVID stuff, there wasn't even in, like, no one really knew about it. And so I just really felt to God to pray and almost sow a seed of faith in terms of these three areas. I don't know why it just kept coming at my spirit. And it was, just to spend more time with God was one of them. More time with family and just my job. And my job at that time, it was as safe as anything, really. Like, I wasn't thinking as a lot of others as well, but I was thinking, yeah, it's fine. It was just an odd type of thing. I just thought, I just felt really strongly for those three areas. And and all of a sudden, come early in the year, it started to come really into fruition with spending more time with family and God. Started being stood down for 3 months and usually working all the time, and particularly that time of year, you know, working 6 days a week, whatever it looks like. So yeah, it was different, but it was definitely something quite good and orchestrated. The word orchestrated just keeps coming to my mind when I've been writing down. So throughout this, I've just wrote in my notes in my phone as I've gone on, particularly the last couple of months, but throughout the year, just little things, if there's scriptures that pop up or pearls of wisdom or whatever it is, I've just been writing them down. So it's a little bit all over the shop, but I'll just share just, you know, a very little bit of it at this stage, what God's showing me. But yeah, those three things definitely two have come into fruition. I know God's got my job situation worked out, no doubt, and I've got peace about it. So it's an interesting, it was very interesting that came about in November last year before any of this happened this year. And throughout this time, when people have either prayed for me, prayed over me, or even spoken to me, I know Kez has, and Rake in particular, and even Dave at one of the times when it was over the phone, and there's just always a great sense of peace about it and the Spirit moving, and pearls of wisdom that come from their mouth. And I know God's been, is just there and got a hand over my life. And I know, the Holy Spirit has definitely moved through people who have just been speaking to me and giving me encouragement and going, this has been orchestrated, this situation. God's actually picked you up and moved you, or is moving you somewhere. He's orchestrating it. It's not just unfortunately, this has happened, but it's an actual purpose behind it. So that's been, really comforting. And, the last few weeks, one of our trees has had got knocked by a ball or a kid, and then obviously we tried to kind of half repair it, and then it just dies off. And, throughout this time, just being connected to the vine has been very evident. You know, you don't want to die off with the branches, like I've just seen the branches just die off, and like, no, I don't want to be disconnected from the vine here. I just want to keep flourishing. And as we know in John 15:7-8, how it talks about being connected to the vine, it says, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. So that was really my prayer at the end of last year, and just to produce fruit in some way, in some capacity, and just the last few weeks seeing the branches, that kind of scripture came to mind a bit, just seeing, I don't want to die off in this situation, because it can be a time where, and there was definitely time, particularly after being made redundant, where I was down in the dumps a bit, and maybe not the best to be around. So I had to draw a line in the sand at that time and just, nope, this is it. I'm going to have, be just a better outlook on life and know that God's got it all in his hands. And the scripture of Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So I just wanted to always have a joyful heart, for my own good, but others around me as well, because it's no good, because the crushed spirit dries up the bones. And, so hopefully I've got a few more things to just share, but hopefully, I don't know if it'll help anyone out here, but, just more sharing this in terms of I'm speaking it out, and there'll be a job there for me in some capacity that I know, and be a more blessing down the track. So it's all good. And probably in this time I'm probably a bit more impatient than I thought I was. I thought I was a patient sort of person, but maybe not. So and then obviously in the fruit of the spirit, there's the patience is one of them. And then you look into the Greek side of it, or in the King James Version, how it says long suffering instead of that. So it's not a great great word in terms of, I don't want to suffer for too long. But in the Greek, it's makathumia. And then makros means long, the start of that word. And then thumos is passion or temper. So basically long temper or long suffering. And it says a patient person is able to endure much pain and suffering without complaining. So I've tried to limit complaining, and that patience of having consistent faith without wavering, I've tried throughout this time. And I read something as well from Phil Pringle, I think it was. He said, patience is nourished through trial, strengthened through pressure. Whatever you're facing right now, it is growing your level of patience. This in turn increases your capacity. Increased capacity increases your success levels. Be patient, it will surely come to pass. And then 2 Peter 3:8 in the Amplified says, the Lord does not delay as though he were unable to act, and is not slow about his promise as some count slowness. He's got a different different way he does things, because there's that scripture about, I've got it here, we all probably know it. Get it up here somewhere. Many other plans in a person's heart, but it is Lord's purpose that prevails. There's all these things that come, and I've got the plans in place, and I've got it all there, and I've got goals and all that. And I'm handing it totally over to God, because we obviously can't just sit still and go, God will give something to me, but we've got to activate that by stepping into something and working hard for it. But I know that his plans and purposes prevail over my plans, but they're there. And my faith is activated as such. 1 Peter 5:7, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. Psalm 34:17. The Psalms are great, Ken, like what you're saying. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. And in Joshua 21:45, it talks about how Abraham stuck it out and got everything that was promised to him. The outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is ours. We don't have to understand completely, but we have to obey. And just a couple more things. It's a little bit all over the place here, just because I write them. I tried to put it into a little section just for this morning. Sometimes we have to experience things we don't understand just so God can bring us to the place he needs us to be. Never doubt the season he has you in. There's reasons for reason for the season that we are in, and we've just got to, and that trust in the Lord is paramount. Just a couple more scriptures, and they're quite well-known scriptures, but they've probably been the two scriptures almost that are most evident throughout this year for me, and they're Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a good future and a hope. And Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Just submitting to him, knowing that he'll make our path straight, is just so important in life, and just trusting him, because if I was to do everything off my own knowledge and wisdom and skill set, it wouldn't get too far. And not only that, the peace wouldn't be there. That's the biggest thing throughout this year, is the peace of God that surpasses all understanding is just there, because just know that he has it all worked out. And for everyone out there, he has it all worked out when we can trust in him. That's been the main thing for it. There's a few other things, but I won't go into it anymore. But yeah, hopefully that was, I just wanted to speak it out, like what Kez was saying last week, and know that it's there, and it's a testimony that hasn't been 100% fulfilled, I suppose you could say, almost, but it's going to be, and I know it will be in due time. I'm working on patience, and it's getting there, and I know that it'll be fulfilled, and trusting in the Lord fully in it. So thanks for listening. Anyway.
It's been quite an incredible year. There have been so many people that have said to me, "Oh, have you been affected by what's going on?" I'm going like, "What's going on?" We have not had any real effect at all. We had a bit of a quiet month in September, but we needed it. And to be honest, we sold most of you know, we sold half our business a while back. And I think we kept the busiest half. Not really, but it's just grown. God has been amazing. And we've also, made a commitment to sell this shortly, and we're just leaving that in God's hands. But isn't it great when you can trust God, leave things in his hands, and have your life and your future with him? I want to pray. There are those that are away. Rake and Annette have gone over to see her family for the first time this year, which is such a blessing to them, because they're such a family-orientated group. And I'm so excited for them, because they get a chance to be places where they've had their hearts sort of separated and torn, and it's just a healing process that God's putting so many people through now. And last week we sung a chorus impromptu. I'm just going to do the first verse now. You got a key on that, Luck? Where were we last week? I've had many tears and sorrow. It'll do something like that. Song written by Andre Crouch. And I'd like you to stand and sing the chorus with me. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There were times when I didn't know what's going on. But in every situation, God's given great consolation. That my trials come to only make me strong. And here we sing together, through it all. Through it all. Come on. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. I'll do the second verse. So I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys, and I thank Him for the storms He has brought me through. While I never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I just wouldn't know what faith in His Word could do. And now I'm singing through it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Come on, sing that chorus with me one more time. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. That's why I'm singing through it all. I'm singing loudly through it all. I've learned to depend upon His Word. Father, I thank You so much. We've never had a problem we'd never know You could solve them. But Lord God, we know that our life is in Your hands. We know, Lord God, that You have us, each and every one, cradled in Your arms. And I praise You, Lord, for that, for our families are cradled in Your arms. Our homes are cradled in Your arms. Our situations are cradled in Your arms. You take care of all of that for us, and we praise You for it. And although, Lord God, sometimes we don't acknowledge You, we don't even see You working behind the scenes, today we give You all the praise and glory due to Your name, that Father, we know our future and our lives are secure in Your hands and in You. Who we are in You is so important, and I thank You for that, Lord God. I pray You'll make it a greater reality in our hearts, in our thinking, in our minds, and in our spiritual understanding, that we are secure in Christ Jesus, seated with Him in heavenly places, in close relationship with our God and Father. We praise You, Father. We thank You for that. And we give You all the praise and all the glory, because through it all, we've learned to trust in Jesus, and we've learned to trust in God. Through it all, we've learned to depend upon His Word. Praise God. Praise God.